Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Just Get Started podcast. I'm your host, Brian Andrako, and thanks again for being a part of this journey. On today's episode, I welcome in Jason Gilligan, who is the CEO of Earfluence and Podcast Ally. And this is a really cool conversation. Not only did we go deep down the podcast rabbit hole and really why businesses should be thinking about doing a podcast or being involved in podcasting going forward, but Jason was really kind to let me do our podcast in person at his Earfluence studio. I also recorded one with Jess Ekstrom that launched last week, and then I have one launching next week with Celeste Kathleen, known better as CK Poet, which I also did in person at the Earfluence studio. So I'm certainly appreciative of Jason letting me come down there and recording. It was a really cool experience to be in person. And I just love jamming back and forth with him about podcasting. And we could have chatted for hours there. So I hope you all enjoyed this conversation I had with Jason. And without further ado, please welcome in Jason Gilligan. Jason, welcome.
Man, I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me on. I got to tell you, I am a little nervous. I heard your episode with Jess Ekstrom, and you do your research, so I'm a little terrified.
No, I wouldn't. This this is, you know, the I think the conversation again having with you. One, I appreciate you having me in the studio here. This is awesome.
Like, for sure,
I haven't done a ton of in person in my time doing the podcast, so this is like really neat. And the tech in here is awesome. And like,
it's a different vibe, right?
Yeah. Oh, but way different.
Yeah.
Well, and that's where I thought, for our conversation today, maybe helpful for folks, because it's interesting, you know, we're in 2024, but there's still this hesitation on podcasting by a lot of people. A lot of people I talk with are still like, oh, you have a podcast? You know, there's still some of these things. So I'm curious actually maybe to start, because we are in this studio and this wasn't born out of just some randomness. Like, there was some intent here. Can you go back and kind of share like the idea of when you wanted to start, when this idea popped in your head? And I think that might be a good jumping off point.
Yeah. So I was getting kind of antsy at my job. I'd been there for 10 years, a digital marketing agency, and it was a good job, but kind of a lifestyle job. And so I felt kind of trapped in there in that I had three young kids and a well-paying salary, but I felt like I wasn't growing professionally at all. So I started to get pretty angsty. And I think my bosses could see that too. And so I was falling in love with podcasts. I really loved the Startup Podcast from Gimlet. Really loved How I Built This from Guy Raz. And I was like, I feel like I can do this. I can figure this out. And so I went to my boss. I was like, hey, can I start a podcast for our company where we would interview our clients? It could be a marketing tool for us. Mm-hmm. And they're like, sure, yeah, why not? Let's do that. And so I did 10 interviews. It was on GoToMeeting. It was terrible. Have you used GoToMeeting before?
Yes.
You're in sales, right? So
yeah,
you did demos on GoToMeeting.
That's right.
And that's how I was doing my demos too.
Yeah.
And so the audio was terrible. Obviously no video with that. And I edited it, produced it, hosted it, just did all the things and learned. Started editing on Audacity. So just all those free things. Try to go to YouTube University as best I could. And I fell in love with doing that too. So I went to my bosses after those 10 episodes. I was like, hey, I feel like this could be a business development tool also for us, where we can reach out to other companies and share how they built their companies. And all of a sudden we have a great conversation with them. Yeah. They didn't share that vision. Yeah. And they kind of told me to get back on the phones. So I stopped doing that podcast. But in 2018, I convinced my wife to start a podcast. Yeah. And she was a wedding planner, has all these amazing stories on the time that she had to kick a bridesmaid out of the wedding as she's about to walk down the aisle, the time somebody's hair caught on fire at a sparkler exit, the time the caterer served ham at a Hindu wedding.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. So she's got all these wild stories. It's like, this has to be a book. And she'd been telling me for years, no. I was like, fine, what about a podcast? And she literally had never listened to a podcast. I think I was just so annoying about it. Yeah. She finally said, okay, yes, I'll do it. And Brian, we thought it would be about those stories. And that's not what resonated with the audience. So what resonated with the audience was how to be a better wedding pro. And so instead of me being the audience and you being the audience and Megan, the producer, being the audience, I thought it would be everybody, but it was just the wedding vendors, right? So, but it started opening up doors for her. It started up opening up doors for speaking and consulting and online education. And so now, well, in 2022, she actually sold her wedding planning company because of all these doors that were opening up for her. And now she's focused on her membership site for wedding planners and speaking on the biggest stages. So anyway, 2019, I finally realized that you don't have to be a viral sensation in podcasting to have a successful podcast. There's a lot of reasons for podcasting. And so I set out to form Earfluence because there was a gap in the marketplace where businesses weren't developing podcasts, but they should because it can be so valuable to them. Mm. So that was a reason for starting Earfluence and getting to the studio. I'll pause there because I just kind of, yeah.
No, there's some good, I think, jumping off points there. Well, it's funny you mentioned, because I think when we talked a couple months ago, we had shared this a little bit, because I, in a similar sense, I approached the company I was at and said, hey, we should do a podcast. And this was only a year after me starting the Just Get Started podcast. It was like in 2018. And I remember the hesitation from marketing. It was just, but they still want to do their paid ads. They still want to do their conferences, whatever. And I said, why don't we look at this opportunity? And it was amazing. So similar to you, I did 11 episodes and I was interviewing, like, it was called GovGab. Like I was interviewing, like I interviewed like the mayor of Austin, and like, which is now obviously just a massive city, back, you know, 7 years ago, it was still smaller. But like, it was just interesting, like all these people, but I could not get, and then I stopped the same thing. So it's funny. Now, there's still hesitation though. I'm sure you talk to businesses all day where they're still like, I don't know if we want to do a podcast or not.
It's not so much hesitation as far as is podcasting valuable? It's a hesitation on, do we have enough time to do this? And are we going to put resources towards this versus other things? Mm-hmm. Businesses are starting to see the value in podcasting, but to your point, there is some hesitation on, is the market saturated? Because there's 4 million podcasts that are out there. So is the market saturated? Will anybody listen to this podcast if we put it out? Can you imagine, by the way, our companies that we work for, if they had kept those podcasts going?
I know.
You know, you've got over 400 episodes of your podcast. You're in the top, 1.5%, 1% of all podcasts, something ridiculous like that. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
Where those businesses could have had all this content, had all these listeners, all this content that can be repurposed, all these business development leads, all these different things. And they just didn't see that vision.
Yeah. Well, even to you mentioned with your wife, but and kind of, I was talking about this with Jess, with colliding, you know, you do things, folks have to go back and listen to that whole episode, but the colliding into people and opportunities. I mean, imagine like where your wife would be or where you would be, right? If she never took that step to start the podcast.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh. Like, now she might still enjoy doing the wedding planning and you're none the wiser maybe.
Right.
But just the opportunities. I'm sure, is she tickled still? Because she does the podcast, right? And she's still tickled doing that, like loves doing it? And
she loves it, yeah. I think we're on episode 263 now of the podcast. About once a week that we'll put episodes out. Mm-hmm. And the people that she gets to talk to, you know, the fact that she's one of the top podcasts for female entrepreneurs. And so she gets to talk to all these different people, and she just loves truly coaching other wedding planners and wedding pros. And so, yes, I mean, it is still something that is a thrill. And that is one of the benefits of podcasting, by the way. Yeah. It is a thrill. It is a high. It is something different than your day-to-day life. Mm-hmm. And so it's energizing when you get off a podcast.
Yeah. I think a great word to use, because I even think of even like this, like coming off just talking to Jess, like I get energy, I get amped up prior to it, during, and then after. Yeah. I'm like, you know, you're excited. So let's go. I want to take the kind of that approach where you talked about kind of the early days, right, of getting this started. And I think it relates to just people, the hesitation of, yeah, not knowing if they have the resources or not. What, by the way, and tell me if you can't share this, not like, what was the first client? Who was the first one that took a chance on you?
It was a funeral home. So Renaissance Funeral Home on Six Forks Road in Raleigh. They're a small family-owned funeral home. And we came up with this idea called the Beyond the Obituary podcast, where it would be loved ones could come in and share stories of their loved ones that had just passed. Mm. And it would be a way to memorialize them differently and in a way to share stories way beyond what a one-page obituary ever could. And I got to host that podcast as a typical American. We don't really talk about death, and these people were so strong that were guesting on the podcast. Some of them had lost children, but it was an amazing podcast, and it was also a marketing opportunity for Renaissance, because anybody that was thinking about where to have their funeral, they knew they could come to this funeral home and share their stories as well. So it was something different that they were offering to their clientele.
Yeah. Well, you made a point earlier, and thanks for sharing that. It's like everyone sees, you know, these big, massive podcasts, and they're like, well, I can't be Joe Rogan or mm-hmm. whatever.
True.
And that is absolutely correct, right? There's only one of those. However, if you want to build locally.
Yeah.
And you, for your business, and again, showing your expertise, but even, it's not even your expertise, I think, that we were talking about earlier, it's showing the expertise of others around you in your sphere, right? Other mm-hmm. opportunities that exist, and that you become that connector,
right?
Of like, oh, you brought this person together, and now people look you up. Like, it's that, you know, the content-based Definitely. Networking kind of approach of like, you're creating this, now someone knows who you are. And for I sure. think that's where a lot of folks kind of miss the boat on, I guess.
Well, they also miss the business development piece of it. Yeah. So networking for sure. And anybody that you ask to come on your podcast could be a potential partner for you, yeah. could be a potential client for you, will know somebody that could be a potential client for you. So that business development piece is huge and totally undervalued when it comes to podcasting, because they think about the top of funnel marketing. They think about, can I sell ads on this podcast? And that is just very short-sighted. Mm. There are so many reasons for podcasting. None of them have to do with selling MeUndies ads or yeah. Squarespace ads or BetterHelp ads.
Yeah. Okay, because the reality is whatever the pennies you would make from an ad,
oh yeah,
that's not even worth it, right?
It's right.
doing it because of, again, the people you're going to be around. And to your point, and maybe this is a good spot to go to, is like the content that comes from it. Everyone's marketing's always looking for new content. I got to write a new blog article, whatever. Mm-hmm. Oh, and man. Now imagine the opportunities you get from having a 30-minute or hour-long podcast.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So businesses are under pressure constantly to feed the content beast on YouTube, on Reels, on TikTok, on LinkedIn, on blog posts, on newsletters, all those things. And when you have one podcast episode, you can turn that into 15, 20 pieces of content easily. Mm. And so imagine how much less pressure that is on you as a marketing manager or as a founder, you know, to have all that content. Mm.
So let's take the approach of someone, let's talk about Just Get Started, right? So you're a business today, you don't have a podcast.
Yeah.
Or maybe you've tried one, you know, you've done a couple episodes and it's kind of sitting on the cutting room floor. What's the first step or maybe two steps to get started with this? Like, what should they be thinking about?
Yeah, I think with anything, and especially podcasting, you've got to be willing to fail fast. So you've got to be willing to make those mistakes. Mm-hmm. When you're recording episodes, you do not have to put them out, right? You've probably had several conversations with people where maybe use the excuse of, oh, it didn't record because it didn't quite work out. And so that, for whatever reason, did not happen. It was a fail. One of my friends, Javier Leyva, he runs the Pretend podcast mm-hmm. and has a mini podcast network of fraud type of podcasts. But Pretend, he started back in maybe 2015, 2016, and he thought it would be about his journey to doing stand-up comedy, and he did not like it at all. He did 10 episodes and did not like it, has never aired those, has never shared those with anybody. But in that time, he was able to figure out, oh, wait a minute here, I know what I do want to do. And I've talked to people that are actually con artists. And actually, I want to share these types of stories. And so the Pretend Podcast is now a true crime light podcast with millions and millions and millions of downloads. And he actually just did an expose on Frank Abagnale from Catch Me If You Can, by the way, which was fascinating. But the point is, he failed fast and was willing to go there. And I think about that from a business perspective too. You've got to be willing to fail fast. Now, if a business is thinking about starting a podcast, just record a couple of episodes. Record with one of your best clients. Record with a team member. Record with a partner that you're friends with. Just have an idea for something and, you know, sit down, structure it out. But if it doesn't work, just throw it out. That's okay. You will learn. You will fail. And that is great because you'll have a better idea of what you want to do. Now, if it does work out, even better.
Yeah.
But still, you've done something. You've probably heard this many, many times on your podcast, which is a great podcast, by the way.
Thank you.
You've probably heard it many times that if you don't start 3 months from now, where are you going to be? You will still be have not started.
Right.
And so you've got to get to that point where you're making those mistakes. And so you can 3 months from now have learned from those mistakes that you made.
Yeah. Yeah. That, well, it's that really resonates with me because this podcast, I was going to start in 2015, not this specific topic, but just starting a podcast. And the short story is like, I went to a conference and I met this guy and he had a podcast. I was like, oh, I want to start one. I'm going to definitely do it. And then I saw him at the same conference a year later. I hadn't started.
Oh my gosh.
And then same thing, same story. Told him I'd start, didn't. Saw him at the same conference in 2017. And finally, I was like, all right, this is the year. And it ended up being that was the year. But it's interesting, too, is like, yeah, if I think about now, like if I didn't start one then, maybe it was 3 or 4 years later. Like you don't know where it's going to be. Again, we don't know where we're going to end up.
Yeah.
But if we don't at least take the chance and try, we never know if we even like it.
For sure.
If it's even valuable to us.
100%. And you notice when you asked the question, I didn't say anything about here's the right audio equipment to buy.
Right.
That does not matter. I shouldn't say it doesn't matter. It matters a little bit, but there are so many different ways to record a podcast. The content is way more important than if you have fancy mics or fancy video. Yeah. You can even start a podcast on your phone if you wanted to.
Yeah.
That those are the most important lessons is what is the right content for the audience.
Yeah, I think that you make a great point there because that's where a lot of folks get hung up. I got to get the right microphone. Yes. I gotta be in some soundproof room. I don't have a name for the podcast yet. I can't launch it. You know, you've probably heard everything.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Under the sun.
Yeah. We always try to record before having a name for a podcast because the name can come after you start recording episodes and you'll have a better vision for what this exactly is. So we run meetup groups, the Triangle Content Creators Meetup. And it used to be, it's less so now, but it used to be the same thing that you were talking about. Every month, we would see the same people, and they just haven't started yet. And we call those people pod curious, because they're not really interested in starting a podcast. Yeah. They're just kind of curious about it.
Yeah.
And it's sad to see that, that they just haven't quite started yet.
Yeah. Well, I think sometimes you got to get out of your own way. Like, everyone has whatever barriers that they want to use. So I think, you know, it's relevant. Do you find there's like one or two big excuses you hear from let's say you're having a client conversation this week. It might be different than 5 years ago when this happened, but like what's like the biggest hurdle right now?
Yeah. So it's different if they're working with us because we can help them out through so many different things. And we've made all the mistakes in the past. You know, we have had situations where we didn't record an episode. Yep. You know, I've got a shirt that says just press record. It's a great reminder to physically press record. Yep. And it's a philosophy on podcasting also. Yep. Just press record, make those mistakes. What are the reasons people are kind of thinking, I'm not sure if I want to start a podcast? The reality is time. You know, they're not sure if they have enough time to do this podcast. And I get it. There's so many different places that they're being pulled. When you're a founder, especially, you have to wear so many different hats. And do you have the time to start a podcast? My argument, of course, would be that time is so valuable because of all the marketing pieces of content. How much time would you put into hundreds of pieces of content? How much time would you put into business development? How much time would you put into top of funnel marketing? Mm. But the reality is that that is sometimes their excuse is that time.
Yeah. Well, it goes back to, I won't call them out, but I have a good buddy in the area who's a founder of a company, and they've been done well. But I've probably been telling him for almost 3 years, like, do a podcast and here's why.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've helped him with some sales coaching and those type of things. And it keeps going back to, it's not just about like you and I sitting here talking. It's about the ideas you come up with maybe during or after the conversation, the content mm-hmm. that comes out of it, the networking. Oh, yeah. Who knows? Like, there's so many different things that come from it. So you might say, oh, I don't have the time because it's an hour of my time or 2 hours of my time, whatever, once mm-hmm. a week, twice a week. But the magnitude of opportunities that happen, like yeah. For some reason, there's not that forward thinking approach. I don't know why. Yeah. I don't have the answer to that, but it seems like you're right. I think time is kind of an excuse we all give.
Yeah. And I look back on previous Earfluence podcast episodes and a lot of those guests that we invited on the show are now clients of ours and inviting them on as a guest and seeing our process gets them comfortable with podcasting.
Yeah.
Same way when you have a podcast and you invite somebody on, that could be a great partner for you, just like we mentioned before.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, even like you and I, right? We talked a few months ago. You're like, hey, come on down to the studio. Let's talk. I was like, all right, come on on. Let's talk about this. Like, we met virtually, right? We were connected on LinkedIn, but now like meeting in person, like I'm sure we'll keep connected after this and that might help whatever, you know? So I think
definitely
we can't let that point get lost of it's still about who you know, that sphere of influence, if you will, of like the people around you and leveraging that to help us, you know, in one way or another.
Yeah.
It's helpful, you know? So
one thing I'll add on somebody's concern about having the time to start a podcast. One great way to dip your toe into the water is guesting on podcasts. And that gives you a sense of, okay, is this something that I truly want to do? But guesting on a podcast can leverage already existing audiences to get your message across. It can have all the benefits of having a podcast on your own. But those audiences are already there. There's not that heavy lift of building an audience from scratch. Mm. So if you want to guest on a podcast, I definitely recommend doing that before, if you're a little hesitant to start your own podcast.
Yeah, do you find that that's the gateway drug, if you will, for most people like that?
For a lot of people, yeah, absolutely. Yeah and we actually, I don't know if I told you this or not, but we acquired a company earlier this year called Podcast Ally, which does podcast guesting services. Yeah. And so we now have both Earfluence and Podcast Ally. And there are so many of the Podcast Ally clients that are just super strategic about it and go on the right podcast, go on the most impactful podcast and get in front of a ton of different audiences. And they don't necessarily need to have their own podcast because they're already leveraging podcasting. Yeah. So it can be impactful both ways.
Yeah. Do you find, so from like a guest standpoint, again, time probably is an excuse as well.
Yeah.
Is there different hesitations? Like people aren't used to speaking and they're not used to being interviewed. Like,
They're scared of not being able to control, what happens in the edit. Right. Yeah. So no one wants to sound like an idiot and nobody, some people feel like they really need to be super prepared, but at the same time, you've got to make those mistakes. And it is okay to not be perfect on a podcast. The audience does not expect perfection. And in fact, really enjoys when it's not perfect.
Yeah.
So we've had situations before where it's like, oh crap, there was a dog barking in the background. You've probably had this a bunch on your shows, right? Or a train going by.
Yeah.
And that's okay because it does not have to be perfect. This is a real conversation.
Yeah. Do y'all do a lot of editing with yours, or it's more minimal? What's the approach y'all take?
So it depends on what the client wants, but we usually suggest a minimal amount of editing. We want it to sound good, so the audio to be crisp, of course, mm-hmm. but we want it to sound natural. And so if there are some ums and likes that are just a lot, we'll take those out. If there's some repeating of different things, if there are some parts of the conversation that waste the listener's time, we'll take that out. But for the most part, we're doing light editing.
One thing I want to make sure, and maybe we'll jump back over to the guest side of things. Another question that comes up a lot, at least I get, and I'm curious how you tackle this, is I don't know what type of show. Do I do solo episodes? Do I interview people? Who do I interview? How do you kind of bridge that gap?
How do you find the right podcast to guest on?
Well, we can take the approach of that, but first I was thinking about people starting a podcast.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, because again, that's another hesitation of like, well, I don't know what type of show to do. So let me think about this long. Let me noodle on the page, you mm-hmm. know, for months and months on end.
That is a great question. And so when you're podcasting, and you know this, as a host, if you have guests, you are just giving, 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 giving. And a lot of times you don't interject your own personality and your own calls to action onto the show. Not nearly enough anyway. And so for you, you've got a sales training course coming out. Am I right on that?
I got some sales coaching stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Sales coaching stuff. Yeah. So you've got some sales coaching stuff. So everybody, Brian's got some sales coaching stuff. I'll let him, I'll give his call to action right here. So check out his website. But as a host, you tend not to do that. You tend to be just super giving to the guest. And we recommend to our clients that they be at least a little selfish with this, because it needs to be the top of funnel marketing for them too. So yeah, it's great to give to the guest because the guest will share it. And that's a great way to grow an audience. Mm-hmm. But you need to be selfish and talk about what you know. And the audience needs to be comfortable in working with you as the host. So to answer your question, we recommend a mix of both solo episodes and guest episodes, but it kind of depends on what the host is comfortable with, because it is so hard to do a solo episode. I don't know if you've done very many solo episodes. I've tried to outline it and just kind of speak off the cuff. I am no good at that. And I will have to write it out. And it always amazes me when people like Jess Ekstrom, when people like Donald Thompson can have a topic. They're given a topic. They have a basic outline in their head, no notes, and they can talk for 20 minutes on a particular topic. And I'm like, how did you do that? It's just amazing to me. The point is, if you're somebody that can do that, great. Do those solo episodes. If you can't, it'll be a challenge for you, but it's something that you'll be able to get more and more comfortable with as you go on. Overall, if you can swing it, I would recommend doing both.
Well, you make a good point too, and this actually goes to another potential advice is, one, it doesn't really matter because early listeners, they're going to forget. They're not going back and listen to episode one or two, right? Rarely, if ever, almost never, right? Unless someone's trying to punk you from years ago, you know, calling out.
I think they used to a lot more, for sure. They would used to go back to episode one. But now more and more, they just go to the next episode, like the most recent. If they saw the most recent episode, they go to the next.
Yeah, and they'll look. I mean, that's kind of how I do. I mean, I listen to, there's a handful of people I listen to regularly, and you may be the same. It's like, who have they had on recently? Mm-hmm. And you're kind of looking through. That said, this is actually, and I think maybe a hesitation a lot of people have. I was in the same boat of I didn't do solo episodes early on because I didn't think I had a voice to share. You know, I was like, okay, I'm going to interview, I'm going to bring the expert on. And then I started to realize like, and maybe this was just getting confidence, like, no, wait a minute, I'm in the journey. I'm in the suck right now. I'm in the learning. I need to share that because people are also going through the same thing. So I have done, I would say probably I've done like, I think I've published like 440 episodes now. Maybe, I don't know the exact number. Let's call it 50 or 60 are solos over the last 6 years.
Nice job, man. Thanks. That's awesome.
Well, and I've done, like I said, sometimes I did none. Some I did like one every once in a while. Other, like I think it was not this past summer, the summer before, I was doing like two a week for like the summer, because I was sharing a lot of the blog articles I write three times a week and kind of, you know, going off of them and expanding. Right. But again, I've tried.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it's no big deal, because it's like, that's just what I wanted to do.
And if it didn't work, you could throw it out.
Exactly.
So now, do you write it all out and then read it? Do you outline it? No. What do you do?
I bullet point it a little bit, and then I just riff.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it sounds good or not, but.
Good for you, man. That is hard to do.
Yeah. And what I realized though is like, I want the voice in my, obviously I have a few notes, but the voice in my head, let me just kind of riff on it. And it almost like I'm solving the puzzle in real time, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Versus, and by the way, I mean, I listen to some people that do solo episodes and they do a great job of bulleting, outlining, and really going depth. I don't know. I kind of find it's like stream of consciousness is how I like to do it. But I don't know what that is. But yeah, I mean, I think it's important to your point is like, try some stuff, see what you like, and then pivot if you have to. If not, keep going down that path. And you're always going to change and evolve. Like even with, you know, the shows that you, how many shows y'all have now currently?
35.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
So I'm sure those shows are not the same as they were day one, right?
Oh, no.
They've pivoted, they've changed, they've adapted. Maybe they've changed host if they had dual host, right? I mean, those things happen all the time.
Yeah, for sure. One of our podcasts called Diversity Beyond the Checkbox, that was initially hosted by Donald Thompson, who's the CEO of the diversity movement. And the second season, Jackie Ferguson took it over. Mm. And Jackie was very hesitant to do it. She kind of got voluntold to do the podcast because Don had another podcast and was leading two companies at the time and just didn't have the time for this particular one. She was very nervous, wrote out her questions, like every single one of her questions. It took about 6 hours of prep for her first episode.
Wow.
Yeah. This is somebody who had been behind the scenes, very much so, and definitely an introvert. And so what happened was that change in the podcast worked out so well for everybody involved. It was a different type of voice, and she is now on stages. She's celebrating, gosh, I think 120 or so episodes. And she's in the top 5% of all podcasts, which is great for like a workplace culture type of podcast, very niche. And she's got grown so much in her confidence, and all from just getting started, right? Mm. Just press and record, facing her fears. But the point is, and to your question, yeah, it is okay to pivot the premise of your podcast. Jess Ekstrom's podcast has changed quite a bit from general motivation to more, how do I get women on stage? How do I get them to face their fears? And how do I get them to get paid more? And so the audience has completely changed from everybody to these specific people that want to be on stages and want to be paid more. And that's great. She better understood what her thesis is and what she was offering to her audience. Mm-hmm. So it's okay to change for sure.
Speaking of that, and obviously we're in the studio, you got cameras all around here. And so you could have easily just said, no, we're just going to do full audio and whatever. What do you see kind of with video going forward? Like maybe if that's a plan you have, like how are you thinking about that with your clients and leveraging that?
Man, I am old and old school. And so I was a little hesitant to fully lean into video because I'm like, well, it's podcasting. It's an audio product. It doesn't make any sense. And for me, I love listening to podcasts while I go for a run or while I'm in the car. But I don't matter. It's everybody that matters. And it turns out everybody is listening or watching podcasts on YouTube. And apparently the number one place that people are finding podcasts now is on YouTube, which just blew my mind. So I was at a conference recently called Podcast Movement out in Denver. And the theme of that show was about how the definition of a podcast is getting completely blurry. And is it video? Is it audio? Is it social media too? So this guy was up on a panel. His name is David from the Social Life podcast, big podcast. And people will come up to him all the time and be like, oh, I love your podcast. And he always asks, like, where did you see it? Or where did you listen to it? And more people were telling him Instagram. And he's like, what? That's not it's not a podcast, but it didn't matter.
Yeah.
People saw the clips on Instagram. And so now the world that we live in is very clip centric. So you've got to put out content that's for shorts, for reels, for TikTok. And so you've got to have the videos for that. And you've got to put everything up on YouTube. So I struggle with that personally, but it's what our clients want because it's what the audience wants.
Yeah. Well, it goes back. And actually, it's funny you say that because I was listening to a great episode with Tim Ferriss and Cal Newport just came out. And they were talking about this because I think Tim's brought this up several times about the production value. Like, yeah. I mean, some of these, like with Modern Wisdom or, you know, Diary of a CEO, like some of these I listen to that are just insane, yeah. the amount of production that they have.
Yeah.
And they're almost full-fledged like TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, it is still audio first. Like that's what podcasts are about, the crisp audio and having that conversation. And it's kind of like, because I think he was making this thing. He's like, yeah, I think I got 4 million, I'm butchering this, but like 4 million views on TikTok, but it was like almost zero, you know, ROI in terms of leading to actually listeners, like however he was able to quantify that. So it's kind of like, to your point, is it about getting people back and listening to it? Or is it about, hey, people recognize the brand, maybe they got some value off a cliff.
Right.
Yeah. And partly this goes back to what's the strategy, like what are you trying to do?
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And kind of going back to the why, I guess, which is what I want to talk about with your, is with your business, is well, not well, your business, but your clients as well. Because I think a lot of people start a podcast and then they stop.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't really have a why. They don't have a reason to continue going. Can you share a little about kind of how you talk with your clients about that? Or, and maybe even yourself personally, how you guys think about that?
Yeah, you've got to have a North Star for your podcast. What are the goals here? And that's how we always start is what are your goals? Who do you think is your audience? Who's your ideal audience? And that goal can be, the major ones are top of funnel marketing, content creation, and business development and networking. So those are the three major ones. But it can really, you can really dig down from there on, I want to get in front of 100 potential clients this year from my podcast. Mm. I want to recruit two new amazing people to the team from them listening to the podcast. I want to create 500 pieces of content from the podcast. I want one person that I don't know, that's not my mom, to reach out and say, hey, I love your podcast. Or I want people to say, hey, can I guest on your podcast? You've got to have those broad and specific goals for the show. And that's going to keep you going because you've got that North Star to strive towards. And as a production agency, we need to understand our clients' goals very well because we're part of their marketing arm here. We're not just going to create an awesome podcast for them. We need to make sure it's reaching their goals as well.
When they come in, is there a certain set number? I don't want to say you make them do, but they kind of, you kind of almost have to see it through.
Yeah. So we usually start with a 12 episode season.
Okay.
And that's a pretty good gauge for, is this working with your marketing stack, right? Is this something that's beneficial to you? Are you enjoying it?
Yeah.
So we usually start with 12 episodes, and we want them to do more, of course, but that's a pretty good first season.
Going back to the video for a second, do you do all the video production in terms of like editing and clips and all that stuff
for
the clients too? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And how, I mean, I guess the other, so this is one of those things like they have the content, great, but them actually sharing the content and like putting it out there, do you help with that as well? Or do you give them any coaching on that? Because I think a lot of people are still nervous. They might record here, right? Mm-hmm. We're in the trust tree here with a few people. Putting it out to the world, sometimes they won't.
We create the clips for them. And then some of our clients will have us post on their social media. But a lot of times it's their social media managers that want to do that. And put the right hashtags in there and write the right emojis and all that stuff. But we will come up with the clips for them. And that's one thing to note as a podcast guest is you've got to speak in sound clips now. It's great to share these long overarching stories, but you've got to find that 1 minute or less clip that is something that can be shared all over the place. So if you can come up with a story, if you can come up with a stat, if you can come up with a quick grab of the audience, that'll be so helpful to the host. Mm. And as a host, you kind of want to keep asking questions until you get that one clip.
Yeah. How do you, from a coaching standpoint, because I think a lot of folks struggle with this, is even if they're doing an interview show or they're guesting, right? I can see it on both sides, but like having those stories, knowing what to ask, because a lot of times folks come in unprepared and they're just like, well, I'm here to do a podcast, but right. They haven't done any prep or anything. Any guidance you'd give on, you know, folks that are kind of in that regard?
Definitely. So when you're hosting a podcast, there's always a challenge of, do I send the guest questions? Do I send them topics? Do I send them nothing? Mm-hmm. What should I do there? We recommend sending them topics, even if it's just a one topic, and say, hey, I always ask this one question, and the overarching topic is going to be on this. Yeah. And the reason I'm telling you this is I want you to think about stories or statistics to share. Yeah. And so they know, like, okay, I need to have some sort of stories about this particular topic. And that way they're not just completely caught off guard. But they don't know the specific questions, so they can't be totally canned with their response and totally robotic with their response.
Yeah, I think that's important. There was a...
Wait. What do you do? Like, how do you prepare? I think, if I remember right, I asked you if I need to prep anything, and you said, yeah, not really. We'll just talk about this topic. Was that right?
Yeah, exactly. So okay. There's a couple things. Well, we can go down this rabbit hole for a while, so I'll try to be short. But from the question standpoint, I share sample questions. Rarely do I go into those questions. Sometimes I do, right? But they're kind of offshoots of those questions. But and most folks, like you've done a lot of podcasts, or Jess has stuff, most folks don't need it. But if it's for a lot of folks that don't do a lot of guesting, where they've never thought about. So I want them to be able to jot some notes down and have them prepared, at least so they've thought about the question. So even if something similar comes up, they're not grabbing from the surface. Yeah. They're able to go a little bit deeper. But yeah, from a preparation, I mean, I probably do for each guest. And again, it's a little different depending on what you can find, because some folks are obviously more prominent in terms of they have more YouTube videos or whatever.
But Or wrote the book.
Yeah. I would probably say minimum of 30 minutes to an hour.
Yeah.
I prep for each guest. Because I know what I used to do, where I would have a list of like 10 questions or 20 questions, and I'm trying to like, okay, he's done saying that. All right, let's go to the next one.
Yeah.
And I realized like, that's not how I'd like to do it. I want this like a coffee talk here. We're in the, you know, we're at a cafe nearby and we're just having a chat. Like, that's kind of how I want to do it. So yeah, I have some notes. I have some stuff. I take notes during it a little bit. And some I take, you know, copious notes, a couple pages, others barely. And it just depends on the conversation. But I would encourage people, at least know where you want to go. I guess coach other podcast hosts are, think of it like you're writing a novel in real time. I sort of want to have the outline of like, okay, these are the characters. These are where I'm trying to go. Like, here's what I kind of want the ending to be, but it doesn't always get there. As we were recording with Jess before this, like, I didn't think we were going to talk about, you know, giving advice to middle schoolers about careers. Like, we just happened to go off that offshoot, which is cool. I like that. Serendipity of it all. But if you have some idea of, like today with you, I knew you have a ton of experience with podcasting. Sure, we can talk about starting your business and weaving that in and stuff, but I think you can bring a ton of value to people that want to start podcasts, want to guest and stuff. So, hey, let's go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah.
So I think kind of having those guardrails is helpful.
Yeah, I think your evolution is something that we see a lot. And one of the biggest challenges for podcast hosts is truly listening to your guest and formulating questions based on that, and formulating questions based on what the listener is going to want you to follow up with. Mm-hmm. And it's so tough in the beginning because you're just not used to it and you're a little nervous and you're thinking about, well, how do I weave that conversation through where I want to go while listening to the guest and formulating follow-up questions. It's such a challenge. And the fact that you're offering coaching for this is awesome, because it's that media training is very needed.
Yeah. Well, I'd also say too, to that point, like, I also realized that as I was having, I'm kind of this bigger believer of less people, deeper relationships. Like, you know, we grew up always thinking like, oh, you want to be liked by everyone and all this. And now it's like, no, I want a handful of people that I can trust and respect and be around. But what I realized in the last few years is like, my conversations have got much deeper, much more intimate, much more like into the cracks, if you will. It's not on the surface, as I mentioned before. And what I realized is when that started to happen is when I had better podcast conversations, because I've always been curious, but now I want to get the deeper throes of things. And I don't want to just say, because I think that's the issue most podcast hosts have, is like they talk at the surface. They ask the, we were talking about this before, right? They ask the question of like, oh, tell me about your upbringing. How long do we have? All right, where do you want me to go? But if I give you a jump off point and we try to weave that thread, then we can go forward. So that's going a few layers deeper to start. Yeah. And then all of a sudden that really expands. So I think I would encourage folks, even like, what are your relationships like in life? And how are those conversations? Because if they're very surface level, like, that's maybe what you bring into an interview. Mm-hmm. Try to change it up. Try to have those deeper conversations and get more vulnerable yourself. And that could open up the guest too.
That's so smart. And one thing that we recommend for our hosts is that they can start with the tell us a little bit about yourself question, tell us about your upbringing question, but we will most likely cut it out because we don't want to waste the listener's time. Yeah. But to your point, it does allow you to go deeper and get comfortable. The guest starts to get comfortable with the interview. And it's hard to go deep right away.
Yeah.
So that's another lesson with hosting and editing is every question you don't have to leave in there by any means.
Yeah.
And if you start with a getting to know you question, the guest can calm down. They usually start to speak fast in the beginning.
Yeah.
They'll get back to their normal pace and you can get into the meat of the conversation.
Yeah. Well, that's something I'm kind of curious how you guys do it here. Obviously we were talking before, like I got to talk to Jess for a handful of minutes before we jumped in, but like typically, you know, someone will get on I use Squadcast to record now, but like someone will get on maybe 5 minutes before or a couple minutes before, and then we'll talk for 3 to 5 minutes to warm them up to your point. Mm-hmm. And then jump into it. And at least we kind of take that, what you're kind of cut out, we kind of take that out because I'll start recording
right
at the, you know, kind of, hey, let's get into this kind of thing and go.
Yeah. Yeah. There's different ways. A lot of times we'll do an intro and post. So the host will be looking at one of the cameras and doing an intro of the guest. So let's join our conversation with Brian right now. Yeah. So there's a lot of different ways to weave it in.
Yeah. What about on the guest side of things? So we're talking about the host and preparing. What, any coaching for the guest? Anything you've found that's helpful?
You know, we started the podcast Ally podcast recently, and one of our guests was Marla Isaacson. She is the founder of ASA, which is a podcast network of about 2,000 mostly women-led podcasts. Okay. And she had some great advice for anybody that's a guest on a podcast. And it's kind of what I mentioned before is you've got to speak in clips because of the world that we're living in right now. So you've got to speak in clips. Another one that she mentioned was, it's basic, but people don't do it. You've got to listen to an episode or two of the podcast.
Yeah.
And so you know what you're getting into, and you can reference those episodes.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing better when a guest references an old episode, so the listener goes back to previous episodes. And it goes to show you did your homework. Yeah. Brian, you clearly did your homework in this interview. And then I listened to the episode with Jess before and with Gina before. Mm-hmm. And so I know a little bit about your show and what I'm getting into.
Yeah.
As a guest, you've got to do that stuff.
Well, and to what we were talking about earlier, you might not get the same questions, but you have an idea of like, what's the style? Like, do they pause a lot? Do they take a long time to ask a question? Do they like what's the cadence here? Mm-hmm. And I think it just gives you, again, it's like preparing for a, you know, a football game. Like it's like watching the video before, so you're better prepared on the field. Just, I don't know why more folks don't do that.
Yeah.
One other thing too, actually, I think about it now, maybe I'll, could be helpful is that we're talking about the stories. Something I came up with, I can send you this too, is like the story tree. Cause what I kind of think about is like someone asks a question, like I'll be on a lot of like parenting and podcasts and stuff like that, especially with the children's book. Like I'll be doing more later this year, and you'll get a question about like parenting. So like, here's the short of it is like thinking like three layers. So for instance, if someone asks you a question about parenting, right? Parenting, you can go a million different ways, right? You and I can come up with 50 different approaches. So come up with three. And, you know, so maybe it's parenting, maybe it's like school, maybe it's like if there's siblings like that, maybe it's about rules, whatever, making that up. And then go another layer deeper and come up with three stories relating. So for instance, school, now I can say, so with my son, I can be like, all right, let's talk about, he did band this year, right? So what did he learn from that? Let's talk about maybe friendships. Let's talk about maybe teachers or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, to what you're talking about, the clips that made me remind me of this is like you go on a podcast as a guest. Now you, when someone's like, hey, tell me about parenting, you can say, okay, this podcast is about just get started. They're asking me about parenting. Oh, I can go down to the whatever, the rules I set at bedtime because it helps with mindset, whatever it is, you know, whatever. I think that's from a preparation. It's don't just sit at the surface. I think we've beat that point home a couple times in this podcast, but like get down a few layers. And I think that can help people get more specific because that's what the audience normally wants to hear anyways.
Yeah, 100%. If you can come up with a clip that teaches the audience something and weaves in a story, I mean, that is gold right there.
Yeah, because you ever get asked a question and like you, and we've all done this, is like we kick ourselves after. Even if someone, we're at a cocktail party and someone asks us something, we're like, oh, I wish I said this. Well, because once you have a chance to think about it, so do that prep up front. Think about what could get asked, and then you're deeper on it anyway. So,
man, usually I'm the opposite, where I'm like, why did I share so much information about myself?
All right, man, this has been a lot of fun. Okay, let's go. I'm curious where you're taking the business. Like, what are you excited about? Let's just take the next year, because who knows what happens, right? You know, all of a sudden AI can take over and, you know, we don't have to sit here anymore. They can just do the, but anyways, what are you excited about with Earfluence over the next year?
Man, I'm really excited about our growth. So I mentioned we just acquired Podcast Ally. That gives us the opportunity to do a lot of different things, including create our own shows. So we've been producing podcasts for businesses mostly, which is awesome. But now we're going to start to create more of our own shows because we want to create not necessarily viral sensations, but popular podcasts in particular niches that can be easy wins for our Podcast Ally clients to guest on. So that'll be great to start to create like our own network and create easy wins for our podcasts. I also think about, and there's only so many things that you can do as a founder. Sometimes I get squirrel brain where I'm like, oh, that's cool. Shiny object. Woo, look at that. But I also think about, we're in three co-working spaces, and I really enjoy the camaraderie of being in co-working spaces and the rising tide and hearing all of the founder stories and everything there. So how do we expand that out to more co-working spaces throughout the country? How do we get, how do we give an opportunity for so many founders and business owners and whoever else that are in those co-working spaces to share their story? So I think about expanding throughout the country with that type of thing.
Wow, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, so there's a lot on the table, but I am excited about the growth.
Yeah, and I mean, even just like this is a cool experience. I imagine if this is in a space, founders, they can come in, they can record. Because I can imagine, and tell me if I'm wrong, like podcast is kind of the angle, but they can do other things as well. Like there's other opportunities with the equipment that you can do that founders probably need where they don't have access to that stuff at all.
Yeah, create great explainer videos, for example, on what exactly you do. That's easy enough to do in a studio like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is awesome, man. All right. Any last bits of wisdom, insight, questions of the audience?
Man, it's a lot of what we talked about, and your motto for this podcast, just get started. You know, our motto at Earfluence is just press record. you've got to, again, make those mistakes. You've got to fail fast, whether it's podcasting, whether it's in business, whether it's in any situation. You can't be where you are today 3 months from now. So just get started.
Yeah, I love that. All right, earfluence.com. Where do you spend the most time online? You're on LinkedIn mostly?
LinkedIn, yeah.
Okay, we'll tell people to go over there and say hello to you.
All right, sounds good.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much for this. This is a lot of fun.
Thank you so much, too, and congrats on the success of your podcast.
I appreciate it. Thanks, man.
Hey, everyone, and just one more quick thing before you head off on your day. If you're enjoying this podcast and are looking for other resources and tools to help you get started and move forward toward a happier and more fulfilling life, then I'd encourage you to head over to my website, brianandraco.com, and hit the subscribe button in the upper right corner. There you can find my newsletter and blog subscriptions, where I share insights and information around getting unstuck, perspective, mindset, relationships, habits, and much more. If you get a chance to sign up, I hope you enjoy. Thanks again for listening in, and have a phenomenal day.